Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Good evening, everybody. 8 o'clock here on the East Coast. I am Michael Kay, your entertainment co-host here on At Home with Victoria. Our lovely news lady is actually coming back home from Vermont, and her cell service is spotty. So I told her to keep eating maple fudge and go into that sugar coma that she's absolutely going to be enjoying in a brief little while. However, I'm kind of all jittery inside. I'm very excited for the show lineup today. This is our basic start to Web Wednesdays, and I couldn't have picked a better people to start with. It was my guilty obsession this winter, reviewing for the Indie Soap Awards. I got to go screen tons of the new entrants, and although Divinity is in its third season, I kind of lost track of it and then picked it up on the third, and I tell you, oh my Lord, it's worth every minute that you're watching it. It's beauty, it's glamour, it's fun. We got Katie Caprio and Katie Apicella here from the cast, and then we have Ken Krause. I'm excited to go ahead and introduce you to him. He is no stranger to television writing. He has his new movie, Tom, Dick, and Harriet, coming out on the Hallmark Channel on Saturday the 16th, so you got to check it out. It's a fantastic show starring Steven Weber. Remember him from Wings, the hot, sexy one? And then we're going to be spotlighting the music of a good friend of mine, James Lucenti. Continually sends me some of the best new talent. He sent me Preston Leatherman, now at 3.75 million views on YouTube, and he's from this new guy named Chase Goering, and he's got a song out called It's Love, and we're going to be actually debuting worldwide his second song on here called Go To Guy. So I'm really excited to meet him. He's 17 years old and from Nashville. I think you're going to really dig his sound. But I don't want to keep my ladies waiting from Divinity, so I picked a very appropriate song, I think. And this is actually from Preston Leatherman, one of James Lucenti's guys. And this will go out to the entire cast of Divinity, because this is how I feel. Anyways, this is Preston Leatherman with Let's Get It On.
Trying to hold back this feeling for
Leatherman, and actually Lindsay Hare is on that one too, with Let's Get It On. Katie Apicella, you're live on At Home with Victoria. How are you?
Hello.
I'm feeling very relaxed and a little turned on from that. That was amazing.
Right?
A little At Home with Victoria foreplay, you know what I mean?
Wow. What are you doing to us, Michael?
Isn't it a great song, seriously? So great.
Yeah, that was a beautiful guys
out of Tennessee. So was she, yeah. Very lovely. But anyways, I'm so happy you guys were able to make it tonight. I know you're on tight schedules, but I figured since season 3 of Divinity had wrapped with that horrendous ending that I just wanted to phone Michael and tell him what the hell did you do, but I won't give that away. But Katie, let's go to you, Katie Caprio. You've been with season 1. Katie Apicella. This is, you know, Michael had to send me 2 with the same names. This is going to be amazing tonight. I'm telling you this much. But Katie Caprio, let's go to Miss C. Miss C, you were right from day one with Divinity when it started season 1.
Well, technically day one, but well, actually not technically day one. They had actually started shooting before I was cast. They had originally cast another Bianca, and she didn't end up working out. And one of the original castmates who played Byron, Chris Park, knew me. And he suggested me to Michael Caruso, and that's how I came in to fill the role of Bianca. But they had actually started shooting. So I'm like 3 days into season 1 of Divinity.
Right. So you would have came in what, episode 3 kind of a thing?
Yeah, I think something like that.
Yeah. And Katie Caprio, you came in on, were you on the tail end of season 2, on all of season 3?
What do you mean, Katie Apicella?
I'm sorry, Apicella. Caesar's going to screw me up all friggin' night.
I came in on season 2, yes, and I came in the beginning of season 2.
Beginning of season 2. I was very, very thrilled, for those who don't know, both Katie Caprio and Katie Apicella, I met in New York with the entire Divinity cast, and when I first saw Katie Apicella, I says, oh my God, you're my favorite hermaphrodite. Remember that? I mean, it was, I tell you, no one has could have been
forget.
A prettier hermaphrodite, honey, I swear to God.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I'll never forget that. I told everybody in that introduction, I was like, oh, I had a very interesting time in New York.
What did you think when you actually saw that written into the storyline?
It was very interesting because Michael came to me with that. So he asked me first and discussed it and asked if I was okay with it. And I said, yeah, are you kidding me? Let's do it. So, I mean, it was, you know, a challenge of a lifetime, and I thought it was awesome. So, yeah, it was really cool. So, yeah, but he was nice enough to ask me if I didn't mind doing it. You know, and I thought it was a very cool concept. So.
Oh, absolutely, and brilliant, and portrayed in a well way. It wasn't
oh,
derogatory,
because
you could have took that into a different direction. Absolutely.
No, he was really classy about it. I thought
yeah.
So. It was handled really beautifully. So, and that's what we discussed as well. You know, so before
right.
He wrote. You know, he discussed how he wanted to write it. So, and I was completely behind him, and I trusted him. You know, completely. He's an amazing writer, so I didn't doubt him at all. So
absolutely. Well, as indicated by his Indie Soap Award for Best Writing this year, was fantastic to be there for that. Lady Caprio, let's go to you for a second. For those who don't know the premise of Divinity, go ahead and break it down for us.
The premise of Divinity is there are 4 adopted siblings whose father was a jewelry designer who was also murdered in a copycat killer-like status. So basically, after the murder, these 4 siblings had to kind of unite to run their company, Divinity. And it's basically, with all of the other characters involved, Laura, who plays Jason Divinity's wife, who is kind of the villain of the show, and Katie Apicella, who plays Portia, who is her sister, who is also a plastic surgeon, who came on in later seasons to do her dirty work. Basically, it's just the show is about this family in them running their jewelry design and what they've had to overcome in 3 seasons to keep it within the family.
Right. Speaking about jewelry and stuff, I was talking to Michael in New York about this. The Jewelry Inn, of course, it has to be. It can't be crappy-looking jewelry if you're a jewelry company. But for the jewelry itself and stuff, where do you end up getting that kind of multitude of gems? Are those all – I'm guessing they're all paste, or are they loaned, or what are they?
It's all real, Michael. It's all
of course
real.
It is.
Michael Caruso actually has a couple of, I guess you could say, designers in downtown L.A. who he shops with, who he actually picks out all the pieces himself, and we kind of just get to play with it and pair it up with our awesome wardrobe as well every episode. But Michael takes care of all of that himself.
Yeah. But that's the fun part, is that because it is, you know, the show is based in downtown L.A. and that we do get the jewelry from downtown L.A., so it kind of makes it, you know, that adds to the authenticity and makes it really kind of cool.
Yeah. Absolutely. Want to make a quick mention up to everybody in chat at a 75, all our new guests. Kitty Capri was up there, so post your questions if you want to ask her something private. Kelly Hughes-Whitney from Delaware, Lance von Trachtenberg, which is a huge Divanity fan. I'm really glad that there's another one of us in the crowd. So, and Marby in Nashville checking out the chat room and stuff. If you want to go ahead and check out Divanity, check it at www.divanity.com. All the seasons are up there and running, including that stupid finale, which I'm still mad about.
That's good. It got you. It's like, look at how passionate you are about it.
No, seriously, I'm not lying. I almost called him. I had his number. I was like, I'm going to call him. And just because that was just, and then, of course, I had to do it Facebook-wise because I'm a grown-up. Anyways, the two of you are fantastically stunning and beautiful and also incredibly talented. I mentioned earlier I went to the IMDb page, which I do for all of them, and it's really fun to go ahead and check this out. Katie Apicella, we'll go to you first. This is her performer profile, gender female, correct, weight, height, 5'4", correct, weight, 150, whatever. Age range 18 to 25. I totally buy that. The vision of youth.
Oh my God, that's not true anymore. I haven't updated that. We can up that a little bit.
Well,
in a while.
physique, athletic, hair color brown.
We need to update that.
Performer skills. That's what I found really funny. Performance skills. Teleprompter. Have you been a teleprompter in a past life?
Yeah, because I used to do hosting. I used to do hosting. I used to.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I actually like it. It's really fun.
it would have to be, absolutely. Accents: Spanish, Russian, Australian, Italian, British, Midwest, and Southern.
Mm-hmm.
You are a genius. Let's give me your best Russian accent and say, "I love Michael K. on At Home with Victoria."
Okay. I love Michael K. on At Home with Victoria.
God, you sounded like my mother. A hotter version of my mother, and one I don't think about. One of those things. Let's go to season 3 of Divanity. I have a clip, actually, which I'm really thrilled to go ahead and play. I believe it's actually from season 3. I'm guessing it's episode 4, but Michael sent me a bunch of them. And although we're a very hip show and everything like that, some of the language was like, oh, dude, come on, cut me some slack. So I don't know. You can tell me which episode and season this is from. I'm sure it's from season 3, but this is Divanity. Give it a listen.
I think I've tracked her down. I feel like a stalker, Mr. Divanity.
A stalker that's going to get a big, fat raise if you can pull this off. I don't even know what to say to this woman.
You tell that old bitch that if she doesn't get on that jet and come back with you to Los Angeles, I'm going to slap her with rape charges that'll make her head spin. Don't worry.
She'll know what you're talking about.
There is a special place in hell for this family.
He rubbed his fame in my face every chance he got. I'll never forget the morning after he was shot. Paper landed at my door with his face splashed across the front page. I marched into the bathroom with the paper, took my morning dump, and then I wiped my ass with his face.
Yeah, that happens on Divanity.
That is such a great scene. I love that scene between the two of them, between Gordon Thompson and Michael Caruso. It's so good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You guys had a couple of really good guest stars this season.
Maxwell
Caulfield was really easy on the eyes. What was he like? You guys didn't have any scenes with him, though, did you?
He just had the one episode with Michael. Two, I guess, one and a half, right, Katie?
Yeah, I think so. It was just, and then Alexis did as well. No, she didn't. Just Michael.
Yeah. yeah, the dream sequence, but it was awesome, and it was great to see him. I had the biggest crush on him growing up.
Oh, sexy Rexy?
Yeah, sexy Rexy from Grease 2. Oh, my God.
Absolutely. Cool writer with him
yeah.
on that. That was very good. Didn't he do a stint on Falcon Crest or something after that?
Yeah, and I think there was another I don't want to embarrass myself, but there was another. Emerson, what was it? No, I'm going to be quiet. The Colbys.
Oh, the Colbys. That's what it was. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Sorry,
Lady,
Maxwell.
Lady C, in going through everything, too, you were also on the Kavanaughs, which I forgot about that. Is that still up and running?
No, I think he's done with his show. He moved to New York, and I think he's completed the entire show. I believe it was 4 seasons.
Wow.
And I actually, I met Adrian last year at the ISAs, and that was how I came to be on that show. I met Ryan Kibbe there, and basically they just said, would you be interested in coming on to play his detective partner? So we gave it a whirl.
Yeah, fantastic. Also, Tier, again, with your IMDb page, Your languages are Southern, Scottish, British, Texan, New York, Brooklyn, specifically, absolutely, Cockney, New York, the Bronx. So, I mean, you cover at least two of the boroughs, which is fantastic.
That's amazing.
So, in your best Cockney voice, say, I love Michael K. on Home of Victoria. I'm going to use these as sound bites, right?
Oh dear! I love Michael Kay and Victoria.
Yay!
Oh, fantastic! Yay! See how talented we all are. Anyway, season 4 is coming up of Divanity. Is it written yet? Have you gotten to see any of the pages?
No.
We just know
hopefully.
That it takes place 3 years after this, after the season finale.
Wow! Three
right?
years.
That's what he said. Is that what he announced?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, just between us Goyles here, what's it like working for Mr. Caruso? We all know Barbie does all the work. Okay, let's just go ahead. And
yeah, right. He's the green power pod behind the curtains.
I'll be absolutely honest. I mean, we both worked on a lot of sets, and he runs a wonderful set. Everything is organized. Everything runs smoothly. He's really pleasant to work with, in all honesty. I mean, he's just a good all-around guy. And every time we have guest stars on, he does nothing but make him feel at home and at ease. And he does the same for us, even though we're there every day. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he have to sell us? Same thing for you?
I was just talking about this the other day. Michael runs a tight ship, but he demands perfection. But because of that, I mean, you look at the product and what there is, and I even noticed what a better actress I've become because of what, the bar that he sets for you and for everybody else. And not only that, like he's created a family and so, he's there for you on set and off set as well. And,
right.
There's a real standard of perfection that he expects from all of us, but he gets that. And it's amazing.
When you guys go ahead to shoot all 5 episodes, what length of time does it take you to actually go ahead and put that into the can? I mean, besides editing, let's just go into exactly how long it takes to tape Miss Apicella.
To tape?
Yeah.
The shows?
Yeah.
So it's about a couple of months throughout the summer that we usually tape. And they're long days. It can be... Let's see. I mean, I don't know what you say, Katie. I mean, like, we shoot a couple of scenes each on the weekends, I'd say.
I think we did. It was between 8 and 13 days, I think it was. I might be wrong.
But we usually just shoot on the weekends, so that spans out for about, we'll shoot throughout the summer, because we're only shooting on the weekends. It's really not, we really do bang out. It's really not that bad when you look at it, what we're putting out.
Oh, no, absolutely. Plus, your episodes are longer, like averaging from 15 yeah. to 17 minutes and stuff. And may I just go ahead and say, again, I talked about this to Michael in New York and stuff. Again, season one, that's when I got hooked and stuff, and then I kind of glanced over it. Season three came back with such high production values. The opening sequence alone, you'll appreciate this, Ms. Caprio, but amazing. I mean, just so clean, so crisp. And then you actually had a sponsor, too. You had, was it Lifestylers or?
It was called Infrashine.
Infrashine, that's what, Infrashine. Yeah, it's hard to say. But, yeah, congratulations. Not many people can go ahead and boast that. What do? Just cover hair costs and everything?
They donated a nice little chunk of money for us to produce the show, and in return, we did a breast cancer walk last year in their name, and we raised collectively over $7,500 for breast cancer awareness, and then we also did that commercial for them at the beginning of every show.
Fantastic, yes. You guys, I know you're definitely out of time, and I want to thank you so much for being on the show. Once again, go ahead and check out Divanity at www.divanity.com. Brilliant cast. And ladies, I know this time went fast. I know you're off to work, but I can't thank you enough for coming on. You seriously are my lovely guilty pleasure. Say hi to Alexis, who couldn't be here, and that lazy Michael Caruso, who I know is doing something else. But however,
well, thank you.
It was such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having us on. This really was a treat. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah. And just remember that At Home with Victoria is your home, too. So make sure to go in.
Watch what you say. Watch what you say.
Absolutely. Hey, we can pull up karaoke. Not a problem. Ladies,
thank
it was an
so
absolute
much.
Pleasure. And I thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Absolutely adore you, Michael.
Thank you. Have a great show.
You too, buddy. Take care. Love you both.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Oh, my Lord, the ladies from Divanity are just absolutely some of the most charming and lovely. The entire cast, like I said, is a hoot and a holler, and they're a lot of fun to play with. So coming back, we have Ken Krause coming up. He's actually in the queue waiting and holding on us. So back to a little bit more Preston Leatherman and something everybody in the film industry knows. I'm so broke. Don't go away. Back with Ken Krause when we get back.
From the CYP, but there's nothing to see in my wallet. I turn my phone off just in case you've been calling. I got negative balance in my bank account. Had to move back into my mom's house. It's a pretty high price to pay, but I really like to get away. But I'm so broke, you don't even know. Rob a big house and they won't even notice what's missing. And if they catch us, they're the ones paying for prison. I get three square meals, free room and board, all the luxuries that we can't afford. It's a pretty high price to pay. Somebody
find his music at PrestonLeatherman.net. Joining us now, Mr. Ken Krause. Welcome to At Home with Victoria, my friend. How are you this evening?
I am fine. Thank you guys for having me on.
It's a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you. I just feel with all the entertainers that I should be able to sing or dance or something, though I suppose, you know, dancing is probably not the best skill on radio to demonstrate, though.
Well, no, but, you know, come over to my house, we'll have a couple of Chardonnay, you'll be singing in no time. It's a
much,
concert here.
Sing much better with Chardonnay. Thank you.
Ken, it's a pleasure. Sherry Goldberg sent me your stuff. I got your film today, and I watched it this morning, and I have to say it is a very well-done Hallmark film. You had a nice way. I know the topic, ageism, is mm-hmm. prevalent in the work and stuff, but let's go back a little bit. Let's cover your early days in television. You're no stranger to the television market.
Actually, I most of my background is in features. This is actually my first foray into TV. My career started on a kind of a funny note. I got into screenwriting because I couldn't hit a 93-mile-an-hour fastball. I was a failure at baseball. I played college and semi-pro, but I quickly realized that I would have to find something else to do. And as an English major and philosophy minor, I had no discernible talent. So I tried screenwriting, and I came out here, and I was lucky enough to play on the ICM softball team. And
wow.
And as a ringer, of course, and I met an agent, and I wrote a spec script, and he was able to sell it, and thus I had a new career.
Yeah. You were a sports writer for a while as well, correct?
Yes, I was. That was sort of my segue. I guess those who can do it and those who can't teach, sort of thing, where I became a sports writer. And I realized quickly I also had a little bit of a knack for comedy. I wrote for a morning DJ here, and I did jokes, you know, topical jokes that I was paid by the joke, and that's kind of how I segued into comedy.
Hmm. I'm seeing here too that you were really actually lucky to have the first script that you ever wrote, Buy and Sell, in the late 80s. It went into a bidding mm-hmm. war, apparently. And then what happened after that?
Yeah, well, it was interesting. Well, that's the ups and downs of Hollywood. I was bartending at the time, and I got a call at the bar, and my agent said that there were a few studios interested in the script, and there was actually a bidding war going on. And all night while I was making mojitos and whatever, he would call me and tell me that, you know, this studio bid so much, this other studio dropped out. And by the end of the night, we had a sale, and I realized that I would never have to make another mojito in my life. So that went well. But actually, the story, the genesis behind that idea is almost another movie in itself. When I first came out to L.A., I met a friend who was a director, and he did these B-movies, kind of cheesy horror movies with dubious financing. And anyway, one day he told me he had an idea for this comedy, and it was about a stockbroker who gets framed for insider trading and gets sent to prison, but not the usual Club Med kind of places. You know, it was like really a tough place. And this predated Shawshank Redemption. So if you can imagine Shawshank as a comedy, you know, mm-hmm. without the beatings and whatever. Anyway, I thought it was a pretty good idea, so I wrote the script and I took it to this agent. This is the first script I wrote, and we were lucky enough to sell it. And then I went to my friend and I said, this is great, you know, we're going to make money, you know, you're going to be an associate producer and get a story credit. And then he said, there's just one problem. It's not my idea. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, whose idea is it? And he said, well, actually, it's my financier who backed all his horror movies. And the dubious financing was actually the mob. It turned out that this idea for the film was actually a mobster's idea, and not just any mobster, but it was an underboss of this huge crime family back east, and who was at the moment awaiting trial for triple murder. So I figured there's my
God's
career.
Sake, don't say the name, Ken. We don't.
Oh no, no. But anyway, I figure my career is over before it started. You know, I mean, nobody's going to make a deal with a mobster, especially one waiting trial. But as luck may have it, one of the agents at ICM grew up with this guy, and they were childhood friends, and he was still in contact with them, and they arranged a sit down at an Italian restaurant in L.A., and there came the mobster with his hulking bodyguards, the agent, and me. Anyway, a deal was arranged, and we were able to give him points in the movie and a producer's credit, and that's how my screenwriting career got launched.
Well, that's almost frightening, is what it is. I'm... Yeah, Indiana Jones, I am not. You will come to learn very quickly, Ken. But I do appreciate that. But let's talk a little bit about Tom, Dick, and Harriet. I know, actually, when I was doing research on it, Tom, Dick, and Harriet was actually a very successful sitcom on the BBC several years back and stuff. So a lot of that was coming up. But I watched the film today, and let's go ahead and tell, let us know your story of ageism, because it's a very unique one. I saw your picture of you and your lovely wife. You're a 48-year-old man, very hip, mm-hmm. trendy. I would never turn you down, but address the issue of, because it is, it's so prevalent now, especially now with the economy the way things are. Older people are working longer, and it's a lot of them have been downsized and trying to get that new job. But go ahead and tell us your story about that.
Well, my story, it's always hard to tell, you know, unlike other people who work in a regular job, and it's terrible where you work 20, 30 years at one job, and then you get fired one day, and the only mistake you've made is getting older. You know, so in my field, you go into these meetings with younger development executives, you know, who look like they just got out of school, and you pitch them an idea, and they pass, and you're not sure whether it's because your idea sucks or whether, you know, they're looking at the bags under your eyes, you know, that kind of thing. So it's really, I couldn't put a finger on it, but I know a lot of it has happened to other writers in this business, especially TV writers, where they have to lie on their resume. They have to take out shows that they won Emmys for because it dates them. You know, it's come to that where experience and knowledge is actually a strike against you. Mm-hmm. And you know, so it's obviously in every industry today, and it's my wife is in the fashion business, and she has friends, you know, they turn 40 and they suddenly are terrible designers, you know, that they've lost their touch just because they've turned a certain age. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so funny because what I was talking about this with a friend of mine, James, the other day. It's like he was telling me about the stuff that was going on in his life, which I'm really blessed, Ken, to be surrounded with a lot of people such as yourself, finally getting the projects made, finally having mm-hmm. ideas and projects come to fruition. It's very exciting as you know, a radio host, because you get to go along for the ride and don't have
to
do any of the sweat, you know, kind of a thing. But he was talking about his guy, and I says, wow, I says, I'm really thrilled to be in contact with such smart people. He says, I'm not smart. He says, I've just ran out of mistakes. And I thought, you know what, that's a brilliant way of putting it. As we get older, we get better because we've made all the mistakes. But
you do. And there's a great line when I think it was Dustin Hoffman, not only because you run out of mistakes, but Dustin Hoffman, I think, was asked once why he was successful and so many other actors weren't. And he said, it's because I just kept showing up. And I think if you can keep at it, if you're lucky enough, you know, to use your talent and your experience and whatever your field is, you know, hopefully one day you get lucky and you're talented enough that you know, you become that success you've always wanted to be. So
right. Have you been keeping your eye anywhere on the web film market, all the independent films that are coming through the web via funding from Kickstarter, Indiegogo? Have you been watching that at all?
Oh, yeah, it's an amazing. I mean, the whole industry has changed, especially from when I started, where, you know, there was none of these outlets were available to me, you know, and I think it's great, you know, so, I would love to publicly fund my next film, except though I can imagine all the notes I would get from all the investors then.
Well, no, the funny thing is like I said, with I've had friends do Kickstarter and Indiegogo. I've had a friend of mine raise $50,000 on Kickstarter within a month, just based
really?
On his social media. Absolutely. $5 here, $10 there, depending on your fan base, the amount of likes, all that baloney. It really does make a difference. And a lot of these productions that, you know, of course, you see season one, and it is very green, but you can see the potential
mm-hmm.
in there. And then, of course, through the seasons, it evolves to a full-fledged production with a little bit more money, a faster computer, and what have you. So, like I said, I just got home from the Indie Soap Awards in New York, and the group is eclectic. It's such a wonderful group of people all rooting for each other. There's no corporate influence whatsoever. Now, this is why I want to qualify your appearance here on Web Wednesdays on Victoria, because I'm a big fan of what corporate can do versus
mm-hmm.
what
mm-hmm.
corporate stops. And
mm-hmm.
You know, what was your experience like working with Hallmark? I mean, it's notable. It's a notable channel.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like I said, it's my first time in TV, and there's good and bad. I mean, the good thing is they when they buy something, their intention is to make it. Unlike, you know, Hollywood, which you can have scripts languishing and you know, collecting dust. Also, they were tremendously supportive of the script and the underlying idea, ageism, which I think, you know. Their audience, you know, can certainly appreciate. You know, as far as working with a corporation like that, there were still some adjustments. It was almost like doing an indie film in the sense that their budgets are not as big as some of the budgets I'm used to. And in fact, the script was originally set in New York, you know, because it's a big Madison Avenue advertising agency, and we shot it in Vancouver due to budget restrictions. And there was one scene where an apartment is supposed to a pass for you know, this trendy downtown New York City loft, and I was on the set, and then I walked outside, and 50 cows were staring at me in a cow pasture, which is not usually what happens when you walk out of a New York City apartment. So even though it was this corporate kind of thing, there was certainly a more independent feel. And also Vancouver, I don't know if you've been there, but the film industry and the people working there, again, are very young, very independent. Again, it's an incredible sense of community. I was lucky enough to meet some of the actors who worked on the film who were Canadian and from Vancouver, and they took me all around. And the sense of newness and adventure and trial and error, you know, which kind of gets lost in Hollywood where everybody is so afraid to fail, which is one of the reasons we see some of the safe product, you know, done over and over and over again. And these people were not afraid, you know. You know, it's that kind of youth striking out and trying to find your boundaries and what you're good at. And it was really terrific to meet these people and do it. So in a way it was a corporate film, but in a way it wasn't. And it was a great experience. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, absolutely. And as for Vancouver, it's so funny you say that. Vancouver is also home to some of the most beautiful people I've ever seen in my life. I think it's the water, the air, and everybody walks. No one drives. Actually, I lived for 4.5 years in Vancouver, 2343 Burnaby Street. I was a block off the seawall.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was
that's
lovely.
That's
right,
great,
right off
yeah.
Davie Street. It was so funny,
uh-huh.
Ken, because I had a grocery store across the street. I had a liquor store one block down.
Very
and I had a dry cleaners right next to it. I thought I was living in heaven.
I know. That's great. And it is. It's a fantastic city. People are athletic and active and incredibly nice. I mean, it was a shock to my system being a New Yorker. So,
absolutely. Ken, we're going to go ahead and take a little break and promote this guy, Preston Leatherman, again. We're going to go ahead and be back with Ken Krause from Tom, Dick, and Harriet premiering on the Hallmark Channel this Saturday. So don't go away. More with Ken Krause when we get back.
I'll never want to be this way again.
Preston Leatherman feel this way, check him out at PrestonLeatherman.net. So, Ken, one thing that you actually sent that I'm really kind of curious about, you have a new script you're very proud of, a biopic, a sort of cross between Gods and Monsters and My Left Foot, with elements of Beauty and the Beast. Please elaborate, I'm curious.
Wow. You should be pitching. That's a really good setup. Thank you. Yeah, I just finished it, and I am excited about it. It's an incredible story. It's the true story of Rondo Hatton, he was an actor in Hollywood in the 30s and 40s, and he was famous, or rather infamous, for playing movie monsters, but without the use of makeup. And his story is amazing because when he was younger, he was incredibly handsome. He was a football hero. And then he went off to World War I, and he was gassed. And he developed this hideous disease which disfigured his face and made it almost impossible for him to walk. His story and ultimate triumph, because he does meet the love of his life, and as you said, it turns into a real Beauty and the Beast story, is just incredible. His will to survive, and you can only imagine what he had to go through, living the first part of his life, in a certain way, and then having to cope with such serious difficulties, and you, where people would make fun of him, and turn away when he walked into a room, and he was regarded almost as a celluloid elephant man, and his will to survive and triumph is just a remarkable story, and hopefully a great role for a young actor.
Wow! Describe the young actor to me. What do you see him looking like?
Again,
and
handsome.
I'm saying this, I'm going to cut you out. I'm saying this because when I read this, I thought of two people that I knew immediately. It's like, oh, you know what? This would be great for this person. Two young unknowns that are just better than they even think they are. Isn't it so charming when you come across someone, say like Preston, who you just listened to, that they don't even know they're actually that talented?
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
absolutely.
Oh, dude, I smell money. Seriously, don't worry. Put in some hard work. I mean, I think Preston's only 21, but, so I'm sorry to butt in like that, but go ahead and describe his physicality.
Well, he's fairly large, but his features are almost exaggerated as he gets older because the disease he had was acromegaly. Which is a disease that causes your bones to grow. If you get it as a young person, it's called gigantism, and that's what causes people like to become 7'5" and whatever. But since he got it older, and his bones started growing when he was older, you can imagine that there you're an adult, and your tissue and your bones start growing, and they of course have nowhere to go. And back then, the only way they could treat it is with surgery. So anyway, you have this. The man who was stunningly beautiful as a young guy, and for one third of the movie he gets to play this handsome football hero, and the last two thirds of the movie he basically plays this monster who people like run from. There's a line in the script where he's playing a scene with an actress, and of course she screams and runs away during the scene. And then after the scene, she goes over and compliments him and asks him who did his makeup. And of course, there's no makeup, so you can only imagine. But any of the terrifically talented young actors, and like I said, it's the kind of role where, you get to play, one part of the movie one way, and then you get to play the other part of the movie another way, and yet your will to triumph and to succeed, which he did, and lead a relatively normal and successful and happy life is amazing.
Yeah. Well, I hate to go ahead and suggest something such as Oscar worthy maybe, because if you can bring that to life in a way that doesn't What did I watch the other day that I was... Oh, Rock of Ages. Have you happened to see that film at all?
Yeah.
I didn't quite know what I was looking at for about 80 minutes. I didn't really know if, was I meant to laugh? Is this meant to, I couldn't. And then Catherine Zeta, it was something that I didn't quite get. Let's just put it
that
way.
You're not suggesting her for the role, are you?
Oh, no. Oh, no. That poor little thing. No. But, it was just one of those movies that I didn't get. So I hope. I know with your class and talent, you can go ahead and bring that to life in a way that would be almost reminiscent of The Elephant Man, so to speak, you know, with that kind of
gigantism.
And elephantitis and all that baloney.
Right.
But so Hallmark on Saturday, what time is it? What time does it hit?
It's on at 9 o'clock. It's premiering Tom, Dick, and Harriet. And by the way, it's with Stephen Weber. I think you mentioned it before. And
yeah,
he's
Stephen Weber and Michelle Harrison, Mackenzie Porter, and Andrew Francis. Andrew Francis, I take it as a little smarmy little con freak.
Oh, he's great. He's actually, we became buds in Vancouver, and he's the one who took me all around and introduced me to all his friends in the biz, and he's great. And he was really excited to do the role, and he's terrific in it, as is everybody else. I mean, Michelle.
Oh, he was very terrific. I ended up hating him so hard up until there's the redeeming scene of him and everything like that. What was it like working with Stephen Weber? I mean, I was a fan of his from Wings, and I followed his career and stuff. Like, I just can't believe Stephen Weber is unattractive enough not to be hired. I mean, that was sort of like, oh.
Oh,
I know.
I mean, and you know exactly. We asked Stephen maybe to put on a few pounds and stuff to make himself less attractive, but
uglier.
Great. consummate professional and real nice guy, and it's the kind of thing where I was on the set, and sometimes when a screenwriter is on the set, he's about as welcome as bedbugs, you know it is a director's medium, but Stephen was gracious, and in fact there was one scene where we had to change on the fly because of budget reasons, and we had to take out most of the dialogue, and Stephen was conferring with the director, and I was kind of hanging around, eavesdropping to see what they were doing, and they made the changes, and then Stephen came over to me and said, only if this is okay with you, you know, which is like, oh,
wow.
Really? Oh, yeah, fine, Stevie, yeah. But he was great, and he's amazing in the role. He's charming and romantic and poignant, and I can't think of anybody who could have done it better. So
yeah, well, congratulations on the film and completion and stuff, buddy. We'll be watching again, Hallmark Channel, Saturday at 9 o'clock. Ken, a brilliant thrill to meet you. Please say hi to Sherry for me, and I can't thank you enough for taking the time out tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I'm the one who appreciates it. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Take care, buddy. Talk to you soon. Be good.
You too. Bye bye.
Thanks. Ken Krause, once again, his movie Tom, Dick, and Harriet comes out on the Hallmark Channel Saturday at 9 o'clock. So, and I'm very excited to report Mr. Chase Goering is actually sitting up in queue. So we're going to start a little bit with the hit that he's actually doing. He's doing pretty good, actually. 17,000 hits on YouTube, 1,400 subscribers, so go ahead and subscribe. He's also on Facebook at Chase Goering, G-O-E-H-R-I-N-G. I had a problem with that, writing up the copy. I have no idea why, but this is Chase Goering in Love. When we get back, Chase will be with us. Don't go away.
Yeah, we can be the king and queen at age 16. We don't even have to fight if we are on the same team. We're the same dream. Yeah, we can be the couple that everyone is jealous of. Different date every night, now that's called young love. In love. And now I think that I found my golden power. You made me realize I think I'm in love.
Chase, I got the name right finally, buddy. Thank you for joining us on I'm Home for Tori tonight.
What's up, everybody? My name is Chase. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Chase, thank you so much for taking the time out. I know you're actually just on your way in or interrupting your church group, so I want to thank you for taking the time out tonight. How are you?
It actually worked out great because we got out a little early, and it's all good.
Super duper. Chase, tell us about yourself. You're born in California. I assume you write all your music, or that's what James tells me. How did you get into writing your own song?
Ooh, that's what James told you. No, I'm just kidding. I was born in Long Beach, California, and lived there about 6 years of my life. Then we moved out to Memphis, Tennessee, and lived there during my middle school years, and we lived there my elementary years, and moved to Franklin for a while. Then we moved to Nolensville, Tennessee, and that's where I live currently. But as for their music, I actually, this is going to sound crazy, but I was never really into music my whole life. Like, I honestly was on the verge of, like, not wanting to have anything to do with music at all. I was just like, music, whatever. But it's really strange how this all worked out. Middle school, I started to pick up the piano because I was like, I guess I'll try and play an instrument for some odd reason. I don't even really know. But I started playing piano, and a couple kids at my school started a rock band, and they're like, oh, hey, do you want to join our rock band? And it was like a little garage band, and I was like, sure, why not? So we did that for a couple of years, and I decided to – this is going to be even crazier, but I decided to leave the rock band to pursue the ukulele. And so I started playing the ukulele, and my drummer, who was also my friend from the rock band, he decided to join me, and we became an acoustic duo, and we were like, so who's going to sing? It's like, which one of us is going to take one for the team, you know? So I was like, I guess I'll sing. So then we started playing out places and just started getting experience. But along down the road, our interests were in two different places. I really wanted to pursue music, and he was more into soccer. So we departed ways, and I'm now a solo artist managed by Chris and James Lucente.
Yeah, you sound so poised for a 17-year-old, buddy. It's a welcome delight. You are 17, correct?
Yes, sir.
Wow, sir, right there. I know you're 17, but no, I really think when James sent me the track, and it was funny, he sent me the track in December, and I was going through my own stuff, and finally got my head together in January, said, please resend it, and phoned him within an hour saying, wow, this kid has got something fantastic and pure to him that is really, really delightful. You're very, very actively involved with your church, which I think is fantastic. A firm base in faith is important, especially in an industry that you're choosing to go down. What is your involvement with the church exactly?
Oh, yes. Well, let's see. Well, I'm here Wednesday night, and me and my friend Tyler Wenger, we help lead a small group. And there's a couple different small groups, so I'm the co-leader and he's the leader. And he's also part of the worship band that I serve in. And he does vocals a lot and plays lead guitar, and I play the ukulele and sing sometimes. And let's see. I also have a small group that I meet with the leaders kind of that serve the youth with Aaron Spell's house, and he is our small group leader for that, and we meet every Sunday morning. And it's just really good. It's a really genuine church, and I'm so blessed to be able to go here. And it's just really good.
Yeah, absolutely. Chase, we've got a lot of people up in chat, actually a full chat room tonight. All of our brand new guests joining us for Chase Goring. Absolutely. Chat room's full. Kenny Knox joining us from Delaware. Lads Fun Trachtenberg still in the thing. Marby in Nashville. Kelly Hughes-Whitney from Delaware. Debbie in Chicago. Leslie in Los Angeles. So you're making quite a splash here, Chase. I'm very, very happy with you. You can go ahead and check out Chase's videos also on YouTube, youtube.com/ChaseGoring, GOERING. Why is it such a hard name to spell? I have no idea. But you've got quite a few videos on there, which are very, very indicative of your true talent. What did you think about pairing up with Preston Leatherman? I call him the king of internet with his Dancing with an iPod in Public, 3.75 million hits on YouTube. I've never met the guy, but I want to call him a personal friend. I think he's a fantastic soul.
Yes. So I was working with him?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Let me tell you what. No. Oh, man. Preston Leatherman, he's hilarious. He's so funny. He'll just do, the randomest stuff, and he's just, he's totally fine with being himself, and that's really cool about him. And it's really funny. He's just really funny. He brought, a really fun, lighthearted vibe to the whole production, and it really helped out with the song. It was really good.
Yeah, fantastic. Joining us up at chat now is Graham Sargent. Is that your friend Graham?
Yes. What's up, Graham?
What's up, Graham, he says. Feel free to go ahead and post any of your questions for Chase up in chat. But so music and everything is going for you very, very well. I take it James is grooming you for what's going to happen after school and how you're going to make your foray into this wicked market?
Yes. I cannot wait. First of all, I cannot wait until school ends. I'm so stoked for summer because I'm just going to have so much time to, dedicate myself to music. And, but while school is in, I still got to keep those grades up, you know. Yeah. And so I'm learning as we go, trying to find the right medium between Christ, music, and schoolwork.
That's cool.
Okay. So it's been a juggle. It's been really interesting, but yeah, James is grooming me. He is building me up to become the artist that I would like to be, and he's gotten me pretty cool places to just be a part of, like this radio show. For now, this is a good example.
I'm thrilled to introduce you to our audience. Seriously, we're over 1.6 million in over 39 countries. So we are so thrilled to have you here. I know we are very privileged to go ahead and have the world premiere of your new song, Go To Guy. I know it's the official release date isn't even been set yet by James and,
right.
and your staff and everything. So I want you, if it's okay, if I can have five more minutes with you, I want to play the song and then come back to you, if that's okay.
That is swell.
Well, I can't wait. I'm very, very proud, everybody. This is Chase Goering with Go To Die, the worldwide premiere here on Our Home of Victoria. Don't go away. More with Chase when we get back. I'm telling you honestly.
Thank you so much. I really hope you guys enjoyed that song.
It's a brilliant second song. I'm really happy that James chose to lead with In Love and get us all hyped up and stuff, but this really shows your range and your talent, buddy, and God is doing good by you, and I want to thank you so much for taking the time out to be with us tonight, and I see nothing but good things for you. I hope you enjoyed your first time here, and please come back again and again. I'm following you. I will have to be your middle-aged uncle stalker, because I really do see great things coming for you. It's a hard industry, Chase,
thank you.
And you know that too, but I really think with a firm base in God, anything's possible, and
right.
It's so hard to keep that in the forefront of your mind sometimes. When you get mired down with what's going to be shoved in your face. But, you know, you've got a great firm background, buddy, and I wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you so much.
Honey, where can we go ahead and actually follow you? I know you're on Facebook, and you're on Twitter as well?
Yes, sir. You can follow me at Chase Goring, which is ChaseGoering. I also have a website, which is the same thing, just ChaseGoring.com. And that pretty much links up everything I have, my Facebook, my YouTube, my Twitter. Might try and get Instagram on there, my YouNow, and that's where I do a lot of broadcasts. And
right.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Buddy, a pleasure. Please say hi to Preston and James and send my best your way. And once again, At Home with Victoria is your home too, so make sure to go ahead and keep me abreast of what's going on, and we'll have you back very soon. Okay, buddy?
Will do. Thank you so much for having me on the show, and thank you to everybody who's listening.
An absolute pleasure, buddy. You take care. Say hi to your mom.
You too. Will.
Take care. Bye-bye. Chase Goring. You can find him at chasegoring.com. Wow. I want to thank everybody up in chat tonight. A full chat room. Candy Knox, Graham Sargent from the UK, all of our new guests, Kayla Overman, Biggest Christian, Kelly Hughes-Whitney, Kyra McCrimmon, and Lance von Trachtenberg, and Mar in Nashville. Fantastic show tonight. I want to thank all of my guests, Katie Caprio, KP Apicella from Divanity. Check them out at divanity.com. And also Ken Krause, his new movie is going to be hitting Hallmark Channel Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, called Tom, Dick, and Harry. I want to close with a replay of Go To Guy. He's one to watch, seriously. I think he's going to be the next Bieber. 17 from Nashville, and a ginger, too. Really good guy, and faith-based in God, which you can never go bad with. I want to thank everybody for a great show tonight. More with Chase Goring, and hope Victoria is out of that sugar coma. So thank you all for listening to another edition of Home of Victoria. I'm Michael Kay, your entertainment co-host. Have a great night.
with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelly Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.